All right. Well, go ahead. All right, I really meant it. Say hello, but now you can stop, right? I'm just playing. It's so good to have you all here this morning. It's good to be back. The last few weeks doing the one service thing, it's felt a little early this morning, but it's good to see all of you here, and just glad to be with family this morning. Well, if you are new, we welcome you. We're glad you're here with us, with this Generation Hope family. So thanks for being a part of us this morning, and we do welcome you. I'm going to do just a few things. We're going to take our tithe and our offering, just as what we do here, as part of our worship unto God, giving Him a tenth of what's His. So as we do that, I'm going to invite our ushers to come forward. And at this time, I see Pastor Ben in the back. So all of our kids, you can go to class with Pastor Ben. As they go, we're going to have our ushers come. Thank you, GHCC, for your faithfulness in what God's called us to be and do. And you are an amazing church. And so thank you for being faithful with your tithe and with your lives. And it is fun to see what God is doing as He is doing something new in our midst. So Jesus, today, as we come to You, Father, we give You our offering. We give You our lives and our heart. Father, would You continue to advance Your kingdom in this region? Father, we know that You do work everything for Your good, Father, according to those who love You and are called to Your purposes. So God, continue to work things out in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hey, I just have a couple of announcements this morning, so you know what's going on. We are still in full swing of our all-church fundraiser in Las Vegas, July 7th through the 17th, raising some kingdom finances. There's some information in the back after the service if you're interested in that. All of our prime timers, your potluck luncheon has been moved a little bit on April the 28th at 12 noon. It'll be going on right here. So put that down in your calendars. All of our prime timers in the prime of life, you'll have a great time. Hey, if you're interested this summer in helping out with some of our facilities and lawn care, you can contact the church office or myself, Pastor Ryan. It's tis the season, right? And I hope you all are doing the same on your lawn, and we're gonna do it up here as well, but we would love to have people that want to make these facilities great, because they are. So you can talk to us after the service. Hey, pretty excited as we continue to look for ways to support and show our love for the Polreich and Voles families. It's a pretty neat opportunity. One of my passions in life is chicken wings. Yeah, I got some fellow chicken wing passionate people. Well, Buffalo Wild Wings, the one in Tukwila, it's pretty cool what they've done. We've got a few young people that work down there. Well, they, on Monday, April the 25th, pretty much all day from like 11 a.m. to whenever they're closed till, that day they will be donating 10% of your chicken wing bill, right? They're not going to give the families chicken wings, probably just give them, some money, even though chicken wings taste good. But they're going to donate 10% of the proceeds of what they bring in to the families. And so we want to encourage you to go eat chicken wings on the 25th. You do need to have a ticket that you give your server that tells them. And so you can get those in the back, but I encourage you to talk to a few families and might as well just make it a fun night, eating some good food and supporting a fun cause to some families that we love. So that is the 25th, and that'll be a great time. Lastly, we have a worship night coming up on Saturday, May 21st. So it's a ways out, but just to save the date for a worship night with some of our worship team members, you'll hear more about it in the coming weeks. But save the date for Saturday night at 6 p.m., the 21st. And then just a reminder that next, a week from today on April the 24th, we will be taking a love offering for generational leadership, our inheritance here at GHCC, our discipleship program, where we've seen hundreds of young people be changed and transformed. And we're seeing it again this year. But we're going to just be taking a love offering for them to help them get through the rest of their year and take care of some of the unexpected liabilities that they have. And so I encourage you to prayerfully consider what the Lord would have you give, and we'll be taking an offering in 1 week for them. So with that, those are your announcements. I am excited about the word this morning. Months ago, we were talking, and we don't usually do an intro. Pastor Dave. But Pastor Dave, as we were talking about the Lord wanting to restore, we're in a season of seeing things restored here at the church. And one of the topics that we talked about, Pastor Dave said, I would love to come. And I just think it's such the timing of the Lord that he's coming for the next two Sundays to talk to us as a father. And I tell you, I love and appreciate this family and this man and his wife. And they're incredible people. And so as Pastor Dave comes this morning, would you just welcome him?
I am transitioning. If you can see this morning, it's the first time I've used this table. I'm sure that probably the next thing you'll see me with an iPad up here. I can get rid of my Bible, and I want you to see it. This is a Bible. It's not an iPad. But I see the change coming. I'm being forced. So I used to laugh at older people when we young people had, you know, new gadgets and things. The old people just kind of resisted some of those things. And I'm one of those, I guess, now that I used to laugh at. Well, it's been interesting, exciting few weeks for all of us. We as a family, we don't have words to say thank you to you as a church family, our family. In fact, if I was just to say thank you this morning, it would be, to me, it would be very cheap. And there just aren't words that we can express how you have blessed us and ministered to us, poured into us as a family during this time when we've gone through what has been a sorrowful, tragic, even glorious thing. And I can say that. It really has been. And this body has responded, especially on behalf of Brenda and her family this morning. We just want to say the best we can how much you have blessed us, you have given to us, you have poured into us. And Brenda is here this morning. Hi, Brenda. And the kids. What would we do without our family, our church family? How do you walk through these times alone? You never recover from it, but there's recovery that comes when a multitude of our family members join us, gather around us, lift us up, pray for us, pour into us, and we see God's goodness that comes to us. And also the same thing for us as a church body, as we have gone through the last 3 or 4 weeks and we've dealt with what has been a tragedy to us. We are just so thankful for one another. Just by way of information, by the way, I'm grateful this morning because, Pastor Justin, you've given me lots of time this morning. It's usually about 5 minutes to 10, and it's just even 9:45 this morning, so I have lots of time. So, but by way of information, you all know that our pastor, our former pastor, Pastor Ed Hart for World Ministry Outreach Foundation, Scott's life totally given to World Ministry Outreach Foundation. And Pastor Kwesa, who was one of the lead pastors in Africa and in our mission over there. Do we get it going? Good. Thank you. And this past week, I have been asked to assume the role as director of World Ministry Outreach Foundation, and I have accepted that position. So what is the foundation and what has been the heart in the leadership of this church? It will carry on. Even though after being at the board meeting the other night and being asked if I would assume the position, and then I said I would, and then I got in the car and started home with Darlene, and I said, what in the world did I get myself into? I can remember a number of years ago, about 12, 13 years ago, being asked to go to Africa and be the director of Yeso Kwagla Bible College, and I didn't have a clue how to do that. I mean, I'd never done anything like that in my life, and to step in that leadership role in that college and see God work and God use us and saw what God did gives me confidence to know that though I'm not sure what I'm doing, that God will be there and we will see God's purpose fulfilled. And I know that the heart of this church has carried World Ministry Outreach Foundation and has carried Uganda and East Africa and South Sudan, and you've invested in so much into the nations of East Africa, and I'm just excited to see what God will continue to do. So, blessed be the name of the Lord. Help, help, help. As Pastor Justin said, we are... Our theme for the year that we have established as leadership is a year of restoration, God restoring. And since the first of the year, I can say honestly that I have seen and I have felt, and in my own spirit, I have seen the power of restoration taking place in my life as well as in the life of this body. And we are grateful for that. And what I'm going to do the next two Sundays is I'm going to talk about restoring the hearts of obedience. And now don't turn me off. Don't stop now because I haven't even started. When you start talking about obedience, we live in an independent culture that just kind of don't want anybody to tell us what to do. And so it's easy just to kind of turn off, you know, before we even get started. What it is to restore hearts of obedience. And I'm going to take a different approach to it because I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to give you law. I'm not going to give you a lot of rules and things like this. But I'm going to deal with actually three aspects this morning. I'm going to give you two examples of how we lose our heart of obedience. What is the scheme, the plan of the enemy that comes in subtly, we don't even understand it, that robs us from having hearts of obedience? And listen, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you are here this morning and you are a follower of Jesus, I know you have a heart to obey. Did you hear that? See, I know that. You would not be a follower of Jesus if you didn't have a heart to obey. And we all come from the premise that inwardly, deep down in our heart and our spirit, we choose to obey. But there are things that happen in our life that causes us, without even knowing it, to lose our hearts of obedience. And so I'm going to give you two things that I see in Scripture that causes us to lose our hearts of obedience, and then I'm going to give you some instruction from God's Word of how to begin to restore hearts of obedience. Because God, you know the Scripture as well as I do. You know, your obedience is more important to God than your sacrifice. In other words, the last 30 minutes that we spend here together worshiping God, more important to God is your obedience than all that you can do in lifting your hands and singing about the glory of God and giving honor and glory to God with your mouth. So it's better. It's better. It's more important that we obey than even that we spend time in worshiping. Now, it isn't one or the other. You know, we're not talking about giving you a choice of doing one or the other. We're talking about both, but it is better. In fact, it could be that your worship never gets off the ground if your heart isn't a heart to obey. But I want to start with the premise this morning that we all have hearts to obey. And there's no condemnation, there's no guilt upon anyone this morning that you are here and I'm going to correct your disobedience. You know, we have hearts to obey. So a quote from Rick Joyner that I read the other day says, "The day-to-day obedience of the church and growing in spiritual maturity is just as important to the fulfillment of God's purpose as the great outbreaks of revival." Let me read it again. The day-to-day obedience of the church and you as an individual and growing in spiritual maturity is as important to the fulfillment of God's purpose as the great outbreaks of revival. So we want this morning, we want God to begin to work in our hearts in any area that he needs to restore an obedient heart. And in this time when God is speaking about restoration, I'm asking God this morning, in the name of Jesus, that he will come and he will help us to begin to discover what it is that robs us and then how we can really restore a heart of obedience. So let's begin by looking at a kingdom principle. This is nice. I've never preached up here and got to see my own notes on the wall. If you get tired of looking at me, you can look back here and you can see all the overhead projector. So this is a kingdom principle. A heart of obedience always starts with a God promise. Very important. If there's anything that I can put in your heart and spirit this morning is this principle, that a heart of obedience always begins with a promise from God. You lose the promise, you lose sight of the promise, and you will lose a heart of obedience. Because God knows that it's the promise that God gives to us that causes our hearts to respond to him, that causes our obedience to be paramount in our life. So it starts with a promise. You must believe the promise, that's your faith, and then you must act on the promise, that's your obedience. Those three things. Starts with a promise, that becomes your hope. You must believe it, that's your faith. And then you must act on it, that's your obedience. So I see that faith and obedience has to marry. They are the same. That our faith allows obedience to begin to work in our heart and life. So let me give you a couple examples. I'm going to give you a lot of word this morning. I love the word, and I just want to give you several verses from the Bible as examples before we move on. First of all, the children of Israel and Moses, God said in Exodus 19, now listen to it. "Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant." If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, and then the promise, "then you shall be my own possession among all the people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be a kingdom of priests, and you shall be a holy nation." Now, what's the emphasis? Where do you put the emphasis on that portion of Scripture?
See, if you put it on obedience, then you're going to be lacking in being obedient because it becomes law and legalistic. Do you understand that? See, if you throw out the promise, all you have is religious law or godly law or kingdom law, whatever you want to say. Becomes a legalistic thing that you're involved in. So the focus is not to be on the obedience. The focus is to be on the promise. Right. If you obey my voice and you keep my covenant, then you'll be my possession, my people. You belong to me. You'll be above all the people of the earth. All of it is mine, but I'm going to set you apart. Yeah. As my chosen people, you're going to be a kingdom of priests. You will be a holy nation. Good. Now, whole that, you know, you should get excited about that, the promise. All he's saying is, if you just obey my voice, and if you keep my commandment, then this is what you will be. Now, to Joshua and Leviticus, before they crossed the River Jordan, this is what God said to Joshua to tell the people. Keep all my decrees and law and follow them. Very simple. But here's the promise. I have said to you, you will possess their land, the land you're going into. I will give it to you as an inheritance. It will be a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has set you apart from all the nations. You are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy. I have set you apart from the nations to be my own. Now, where's the emphasis? Is it on obeying the decrees, on being holy, or is it on the promise? Where do you place your focus? See, if you place it on the promise, then your heart is going to follow in obedience. Now, if you think I'm just quoting from the Old Testament, Peter picks this up in his epistle, and this is what Peter says in 1 Peter 15. But just as he has called you is holy, now listen, so be holy in all you do. Right. When's the last time you heard a message on holiness? We don't preach much about holiness anymore, do we? But this is what God is saying. He's just simply saying that I've called you, I'm holy, so you be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. But the promise is this, but you are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a people belonging to God. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, where's your focus? Is your focus on holiness? Or is your focus on the promise of God that says you'll be my people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation? And if our attention is on the promise of God and we begin to understand the promise of God, then our heart is going to follow in obedience. Now, let me give you another New Testament example because I don't want you to think that we're just Old Testament people. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, this is what he says. Therefore, come out from them, be separate, says the Lord, touch no unclean thing, and I'll receive you. Just a simple command that he gives. Come out from among them and be separate. And I'm not sure that we even understand what it is anymore to be separate, because it seems like we conform more to the world than we do to the ways of the kingdom. But he says, just come out from among them and be separate. Don't touch any unclean thing, and I'll receive you. It's that simple. I'll be a father to you. We talk a lot about Father. We sing about Father God. We sing about how good he is and everything. But he just simply says, here's what I'm asking you. I'm asking you to come out from among them, be separate. Don't touch any unclean thing. I'll be a father to you. You'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have this, come on. Come on, say it. since we have this promise, dear friends, what are we going to do? We're going to purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of the reverence for God. Now, you can take the legalistic law that people place on this, and you can focus on that, and you'll never make it. But begin to focus on the promise that he gives to you. So just simply, I'll be your father. You'll be my sons. You'll be my daughters. I'll receive you. God says, that's the promise that I give you. So every act of obedience begins with a promise. Understand, that's the way of the kingdom. And again, without promises, without understanding the promise, we lose our hearts for obedience. You know the scripture says, without a vision, the people perish. Without a promise, the people are unrestrained. Every man does what's right in his own eyes. It's the promise that we need to focus on. Lose sight of the promise, and you'll lose your heart for obedience. Oh, Lord, help us as the church. Come on, help us in our understanding of your ways and your scriptures. So lose sight of promise and you lose your heart for obedience. That's why trying to live a godly life for many is such a drudgery. That's why many sit in church Sunday after Sunday, and they would tell you, if they're honest, their Christianity is a drudgery. Because they're trying to focus on the do's and the don'ts and not the promises of God that God has made so real and clear to us. And so we begin to understand many times with a religious, legalistic attitude, we focus more on obedience and very little on the promise. And God wants us to begin to see his heart, the promise of his heart. And we begin to focus on the promise of God, and a heart of obedience will follow. So we need to recapture the promise. We need to again focus on the promise, and your heart of obedience will begin to be restored. If we begin to focus on the promises of God, then your heart will begin to be restored. Hebrews said, let us hold unswervedly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. Now, let me give you the second thing that causes us to lose our hearts of obedience, and it's the attack on the obedient heart that happened in the garden. Let me take you back to Genesis, and let's just go through a few verses in Genesis. Genesis 2, verse 9. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground. Trees that were pleasing to the eye, good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life. Now, the tree of life is just simply God himself. If you try to envision, you know, what was the tree of life? No, it's just simply that he is the source. He is the one that we partake of. He is the one that we receive from. So him and him alone, he is the tree of life. So in the garden, in the middle of the garden, was the tree of life, which was God himself. And also the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Two trees. God as the source. The other, you are the source that determines good and evil, right and wrong. Which one are you going to take from? So he says, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's not your source. For when you eat from it, you will surely die. One tree leads to life, the other tree leads to death. So in Genesis 3, Satan comes into the garden, and this is what happens. Now the serpent was more crafty than any the beast of the field which the Lord has made. And he said to the woman, indeed has God, come on, preach to me, indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. And so the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, and you will know for yourself. You will determine what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit, she ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate, and their eyes, the eyes of both of them were open. And the result was that godly obedience is neglected when we play God, believing we know what is best for our lives. That's what happened in the garden. And it was the deceptive lie of Satan that said to the woman, you can eat of the tree and you can have the ability to determine for yourself what is right and what is wrong. And because of that, today, in our lives, we lose our heart of obedience. Now, history bears this out. The children of Israel, it says that every man did what was right in his own eyes. See, we learn, see, that you will then determine for yourself what is good and evil, or what is right or wrong. And the lie of Satan comes in today, and the interpretation of Scripture is according to our own reasoning and understanding, and we neglect the truth and obedience of the Word because Satan has deceived us to believe that we can determine for ourselves what is best for our lives. One simple command, just one simple command. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We need to make a resolve to be obedient to God and His Word regardless how we feel or how others feel, or we will end up doing what is right in our own eyes. Now, at this point, my heart is a little heavy. And it might be because I'm of that older generation now. But I have seen, and I have watched over the last 50, 60 years, the dumbing down of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I read a number of years ago a book, and the title of the book was The Dumbing Down of America. And it had to do with the educational system of America and how over the years there's been a dumbing down of our education system to where our young people today, where we used to be number one in the world, we're probably about 23rd or 24th educationally in the world today. And it's happened over a generation. Two, three, four. And I've watched that happen in the church. And what we held as sacred and holy a few years ago is not accepted today, and we've seen a dumbing down of the gospel to where anything that you feel like goes in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Things we would never, ever think of 20, 25 years ago is common practice now in our lives. We rationalize God's law. Rationalize means there's a view that reason is the source of knowledge. And with our own minds, we begin to determine what is right and wrong for us as people belonging to God, kingdom subjects. Because of the lie. Because the enemy has come in and told us that we can determine for ourselves what's best and what's not good and what we like and we don't like. And that has caused us to lose our hearts of obedience. And that's what God wants to restore. See, that's what God wants to restore. Because God knows that our obedience brings the blessing of God. And the prosperity of our life, the promises of God are fulfilled when we have hearts of obedience. And one simple command by God was turned by the lie of Satan to where Adam and Eve began to determine, they became wise. The knowledge of good and evil was in the source of their mind, and they began to do what they felt was best for themselves. They played God, and when you play God in your own life, you lose your heart of obedience. Somebody needs to agree with me. So we interpret God's law. We interpret His commands, His word, according to our own thinking, our own reasoning, and our own opinions. Instead of taking God's law and God's word at face value of what God says, we begin to rationalize it, and we interpret God's law. And by the way, you can make God's law say anything you want in your mind. See, it's easy to do that. And the enemy comes in with the lie, and that's what happens. So thus our problem is not a rebellious disobedience or a rebellious heart, but it's just simply doing what's right in our own eyes. We're not talking about rebellion. We're not talking about setting our wills to disobey God. We're just talking about being duped by the lie of Satan to begin to believe that we can be God and determine what is right, what isn't right in our lives. Today, listen to this. Today, God's word is being interpreted by our culture. And when we believe that, we believe a lie and we lose our heart for obedience. And I'm shocked. I'm really shocked at how much of God's law is interpreted according to culture norm and not according to the spirit of the living God. The right to determine what is best for me today is called freedom. And anything we don't want to do, we call religion, and we call others legalistic. Hear me. The right to determine what is best for me today is called freedom in the church. And anything we don't want to do, we call religion, and we call others legalistic. Now, let me move on, because I want to show you how to begin to restore hearts of obedience. Paul gives us the instruction in 2 Corinthians 10. Look what he says. We are destroying speculations. That is the forming of a thought or a theory by reason in your own minds. Now listen. My family at GHCC, we are here to destroy speculations. Come on. We will stand and we will destroy speculations in our mind. That which we determine by our own reasoning. And we will destroy every lofty thing. That's man's thoughts, his heady, high-minded thinking. Because we play God, and we determine what's right and wrong for our life. We will destroy everything raised up against the knowledge of God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We will destroy everything raised up against the knowledge of God, and we will take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Amen. That's what we'll do. And we are ready to punish all disobedience. I'm not sure what that means, but I do know that we'll do that when our obedience is complete. And we haven't done it yet. Probably our obedience isn't complete. That's how we begin to restore hearts of obedience. When the enemy comes in and begins to twist, has God said? That's not really what God meant. You just have some old legalistic view of what you think God said, but that's really not what God said. See, that's the lie of Satan. Because he wants you to begin to think and reason with your own mind. So you dictate, your life is dictated by your own reasoning. When you do that, you're playing God. And you lose hearts of obedience. But we will bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, how do you do that? John 16. Well, in Psalms 19, is that up there? Psalms 19:57 says, David says, "You are my portion, O Lord. I have promised to obey your word." Oh God, I'm standing here this morning, and I promise to obey your word. This GACC family, my family here, we promise to obey God's word. We are taking a stand this morning to promise to obey God's word without our own personal interpretation. So how do we do that? This is what Jesus promised us. John 16. "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." When the Spirit of God comes into your life, he is coming to guide you into truth. It's not your mind, it's not your reasoning, it's not your intellect, it's not your experience, it's not the culture norm. It's the Spirit of God that comes to reveal and guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Have we de-emphasized the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to the point that we become victims of the lie of Satan and rationalize for ourselves and interpret for ourselves what is right or wrong? Listen, we need the Holy Spirit. Your life needs to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You need a genuine baptism in the Holy Spirit, not just an initial coming to Jesus. You need to know what it is to be dependent on the Holy Spirit 24 hours a day. You need to learn how to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit for everything in your life, regardless of what your mind says, what the world says, what the culture says, your friends says, or people around you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Learn to pray in the Holy Spirit daily, continually. Learn to pray in the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Keep your ears open to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. He will lead you into all truth. And if we neglect the Holy Spirit, and if we're not obedient to his truth, He is our helper. He is our paraclete, the one alongside of us. And if we neglect that, then we will be subject to the ploys of Satan, and we will lose our hearts for obedience. God has given us his Holy Spirit. He has put his Spirit within us, not just to have power, but to have truth as we walk out this life, as we try to live this life in the glory of Jesus Christ and the power of his kingdom. He has given us the source, which is his Holy Spirit. And if you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to fall before God and begin to ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit, where you learn what it is to pray in the Spirit, worship in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, listen to the Spirit, and know the voice of the Spirit for your life, because that's how you begin to restore a heart of obedience. Let me recap. All obedience begins with a promise. Don't forget that. Begin to look at the promise that God gives. With every command, he gives a promise. It's a kingdom principle. And if we focus only on the command, we will be religious and legalistic and we'll fail miserably. But if we begin to understand the promises of God, our hearts will follow in obedience. Lose sight of the promise will cause you to lose a heart of obedience. Number two, lean not on your own understanding, your own interpretation, your own opinion, your own experience, or those around you. That's the work of the enemy's lie to cause you to begin to do that. Take God's word at face value. Let the Holy Spirit come. Begin to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus. When a thought comes to you, don't just say, oh, that's the thought that, you know, I filled this. No, that probably wasn't the Spirit speaking to you if it's not the word of God. It's probably the lie of the enemy. And we learn what it is to bring every thought into obedience to Jesus Christ. And number four, live daily in the truth of the Holy Spirit. That's how we position ourselves to be restored with hearts of obedience unto the living God. And let me tell you, when you walk that way, then the blessing of God begins to flow. In your life, in your family, in everything that you do, you will walk because God has promised that you'll be my people. You will belong to me. You will be special. I'll show you how to live in a way that will be glorious and blessing to you and to other people. God will do it because your heart will be a heart of obedience. May God help us to walk with hearts of obedience. Next week, I want to talk about the blessing of walking in obedience. Number two. God bless you. Okay, Pastor, come and you can close it.
Well, awesome. Pastor Dave, thank you. Be back next week, right? We're going to continue. And I know I'm just challenged in my own life. And I just pray in the season that we're in that we would all be challenged personally and that we're accountable to the truth that we know. So, Father, today, as we do go in your name, Father, I just pray that you would begin to, by your Spirit, that you would work out the things that we've heard. Father, that we would even be renewed with your promises. Father, I even pray for people that maybe have heard the promise long ago, but have walked away. Father, would you renew those promises in their mind? Father, where we would focus on the things that you want. Father, teach us all to learn to host your presence and walk in the Holy Spirit, that it's not just an experience, but the way of lifestyle of being sensitive to your Spirit. Father, we want to do those things. Father, we want to be people, Father, who love to walk in obedience with their Father. So, God, thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. Father, would you work out the things? Father, would you work it out in our spirit today? In Jesus' name, amen.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, God bless you. Hug someone. You may go in his name, go in his spirit. You're released.
Tested like a cold, enjoy.